This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
It is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Luke, chapter 13. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. I appreciate the privilege your pastor permitted me to come and be here. I'm 87 years old, and my doctor, and that we go to twice a year, said that my wife, and she's right over there, best in the head, and but anyway, she said, Joy said, you check out like a 60-year-old woman. Said your husband checked out like a 62-year-old man, so actually that's how old I am. But anyway, I'm honored to be here. I've been in full-time ministry since 1954. I conducted my first revival when I was 14 years old. I got saved at 12 years of age, and God called me to preach when I was 13, and I knew I liked chicken. I knew I was called to preach. But anyway, and then I served as an associate pastor in Alabama, and then in Oklahoma, assistant pastor where I went to school out there, and so on. And I'm just, all these years, God has been good to me, and God has let me see some wonderful, great things and through the years, and I'm just honored to be able to be here today to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sunday school teacher said to the children, said, next Sunday, bring something to illustrate a scripture. So the next Sunday, said, anybody bring something? This girl said, yes, I did. And she had a flashlight. She turned it on, said, you're the light of the world. And she said, that's wonderful. Another boy said, I do too. And he had a little banty egg in his hand. So he goes across the room and just squashes it on top of this boy's head. And he said, take my yoke upon you. Luke 13, began reading in verse number 10. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately, I mean right on the spot, she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered and said, I like this, Jesus. Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, notice whom Satan hath bound? And let me illustrate that right there before I go on and read a little more. Several years ago when I pastored in Chattanooga, at Temple Baptist, I just got back from vacation and unloading the car, and I got a phone call and so on. And went in, and this guy said, a preacher said, you know me, and he told me his name. I said, I sure do. I knew where he went to church. I'd been to church and preached and as a Sunday school teacher or deacon and all. And he said, my pastor's out of town. And he said, I just need to talk to somebody. And I said, man, I just got in and so on and so forth. He said, but preacher, I really need you. And I said, all right. and I'll be right down. And so I went on down to church, and he brought his wife with him. And so he had on a brown khaki shirt, brown khaki pants, and it was wringing wet. I mean, sweat. It just rolling down. I've never seen anything like it before nor since. And got inside my office and sat down. And he said, "Would you believe what I tell you?" I said, "Have no reason to doubt. You believe I'm saved?" I said, "I know you are." He said, "This morning, preacher, I went to work down at combustion engineering." And he said, "The devil has got his arms around me and won't let me go." And his wife began to scream. He said, "Preacher, what am I going to do?" I said, "Well, let's pray." I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know about it. I did not know. And I sat there and didn't know what to say and or anything else. And he's screaming. And when he got up, that whole chair was wet with water and everything. And he's just crying out to God. And I don't know how long I just sat there or thought about whatever. And all of a sudden I said, "In Jesus' name, set him free." And about that time he said, "Look, preacher, I'm not trembling anymore. I'm not sweating anymore. When you said Jesus set him free, he said he did." I want you to know it doesn't make any difference. If you're bound with something, Jesus Christ is able and willing to set you free. And he said these 18 years and released on the Sabbath. And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced in all the glorious things which were done by him. I want to preach this morning on when Jesus come to church. I hear people, "I go to church, I don't get anything out of it." That's your fault. A Bible-believing church, the Lord is always with you. Maybe sometime you shout and praise God. Next time you come, and one of some of the greatest meetings I've ever been in, when it was so holy, if anybody said anything, it'd be out of place. But I'm glad every time you come to a Bible-believing church, got a Bible-believing preacher and Bible-believing songs, Jesus is always here. You know, go by how you feel. Jesus said, "He'll be here." Thank God, He'll be here, and He'll always be here. Hallelujah. So he came here. Let me just illustrate something. A lot of funny things happen in church. I mean, I could tell you many things that's happened in churches down through the years. But I remember Dr. Jim Henry, First Baptist Church down in Orlando, Florida, a real good friend. He said one Sunday morning, and he had about 5,000 people there. And he said, "I was sitting up on the platform, and I see a man coming in. And had a long beard, a long outfit on, and coming down through there. And he thought, well, my deacons will stop him about next row of deacons there will stop him. But they didn't. Got down the halfway, they didn't. And he got up, and finally that guy came down here and at the front. And he said, "I got up," and I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "I'm Jesus." He said, "I've come to see how you're doing." And he said, "Looks like you're doing pretty good. And keep up the good work." And he went up the other side, and he stopped in the middle and said, "Hey, I'm Jesus. Y'all keep up the good work. I'll see you later." I want to tell you, a lot of funny things happen, but I'm glad, thank God, in every church, the Lord Jesus. In other words, let's welcome him right now. The Lord is in his place. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. Let me give you three things. I'll not keep you long. I'll be like Liz Taylor told her eighth husband, "I won't keep you long." I want to give you three things and then I'll be through. Number one, here's the cripple. 18 years, I'm talking about 18 years, going to the house of God and to worship God, all bent over. 18 long years this lady had been that way, and she bowed together and she was hurting as she attended the house of God. A lot of people come to church, maybe you're broken. You come to the house of God, maybe you've been battered and bruised by the world, and yet you're here today. everybody, I promise you, in this congregation of people, there are some people going through a trial or a difficulty. Maybe you're hurting physically, financially, a lot of ways you're hurting, but you still came on anyway. But Jesus is here to set the captive free. He is here to set everybody free from whatever is bothering you, whatever it might be. The Lord Jesus Christ is always in the house of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the Bible said she was bent and bowed and could in no wise lift up herself. She had never seen life in its proper perspective, and she was that way. Not only was she here hurting, but she was helpless. Don't you know she tried to lift her up herself? Don't you know she must have tried? Oh, I wish I was straight like everybody else. I wish I could look up in everybody. Don't you know when she went to the house of God, some of those old saints or devils or whatever you want to call them, look at that woman. Hope she don't come over here and sit down by me. Look what she's wearing. Look at her. But she came. Kept coming to the house of God 18 years. And she could have said, well, I'm not able to go, but she was still going to the house of God. In all the years of ministry, I've only missed 3 Sundays. And all the time I've been pastoring and preaching evangelism, all these years I never took a vacation on Sunday. That was me. I mean, man, people need vacations and all, but I just liked it. And that's the way I did. I leave on Sunday night. But let me tell you, all these years that God Almighty, hey, I've seen a lot of wonderful things. I met a lot of wonderful people. I met one lady up in when I was in Chattanooga. Now, I'll not call her name because some of you may remember her. But she was a great lady. She was in her 80 years of age. And the whole time I was there, 11 and a half years, she never missed a service. She came in on a van. She lived in East Ridge, and she'd come in on a van, and she talked real shrill. And so I said one Sunday morning, she came in, but she had a neighbor that lived next to her in East Ridge. She had a miserable, this lady had a beautiful garden. You couldn't find a speck of grass or nothing else in it. I mean, she, and her neighbor in her 60s said to her, God sure has been good to you. She said, yeah, the Lord been good to you too if you wasn't so lazy. She came to me one Sunday morning, coming in, got off the van. And I said, good morning. I called her name. Good morning, preacher. I said, how you doing? She said, fine. She walked over to me, said, preacher, you know why I come to church? I said, you're always here. And all this time, times you didn't feel good, times you came on bad weather, snow, whatever, you were here. She said, but do you know why I come to church? I said, tell me why you come to church. She said, well, when I come to church, said the choir kind of roars in my head and I can pick up a little bit. She said, every once in a while, I can pick up a word from you. She said, but do you know why I come? I said, why? She said, because Jesus is always here. Did y'all think your Jesus is going to be here when you got here this morning? Have you looked around and saw everybody? Always be conscious of the fact that Jesus is always here. Jesus is always. If you're saved, if you learn to one thing, learn to practice the presence of Jesus Christ. Christ in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in you. He lives in the heart of every child of God. Hey, every day, live as if it could be your last day. I'm not talking about I might die today or the Lord might come to. No, no. But live close to the Lord Jesus. And witness to people. Let people know. I was witnessing to a precious black lady over in North Carolina to Cracker Barrel. And she's taking me to the table and the preachers I was with. And I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? And she looked at me. She said, I am in the fog, F-O-G, full of God. And so get in the fog. Get full of God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, lives in the heart of every born-again child of God. I met a man up in Virginia, Badge Doss, one of the greatest Christians I ever met in my life. He had rock dust in his lungs, and he had a big old tank of oxygen by his bed, and he'd go home. And I remember one, he's always there. He didn't drive, a big tall man, one of the godly men. I mean, even when he died, sinners came and said, "There's a Christian." That's the kind of man he was. But old Bides Dawson, and he came. And he called me one after that Sunday afternoon. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to come to the house of God." He said, "I just barely got home and put that oxygen to me. And I didn't know where I was going to make it or not." But that after old Friday or Saturday, he called me and said, "Preacher, Bides." I said, "How you doing, Bides?" And he said, I'm going to meet me at the side door Sunday morning." I was up in Virginia, Chillog Baptist. And so I stood there by the door, and cars would pull up, and I'd open the door and finally got out. And I noticed he had a little something under his arm. And so we got up, he got inside, and he said, "Preacher, I want to show you something." And he had a little tank of oxygen, and he had a thing he could put on. And he said, "I got this oxygen. Now, preach all you want to." Hey, what I'm trying to say, hallelujah, Jesus goes with you to the house of God. Not only was she helpless, but she came hoping. Don't you know, maybe, surely she came to the house of God hoping to touch the Lamb of God. And did you think you're going to come and let Jesus do something for you today? Every person, when your pastor, and he's a great pastor and a preacher, is there anything else you want me to tell him? But he's a great man. But you come to worship in spirit and in truth. You come hoping. Did you come hoping today? Maybe you didn't feel well physically, but you came on anyhow. Maybe you're being tried mentally. I mean, the pressure's on you. Maybe you did that. Or maybe you're being tried financially. Maybe these are, but you came on anyway. Maybe your husband was lost, but you came back on hoping anyway. Maybe you got a son or a child or a grandson that's a prodigal, but you came on hoping. Maybe your heart's been broken, but you came hoping. Every time God's got something for you, whatever it is, God Almighty has something for every born-again child of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Notice the Christ. Here's the Christ. And the Bible said he saw her. He saw her. See, Jesus saw you come in. He saw you when you came in. He saw everybody when you came in. Now, what do you see? Can't you imagine that old woman, all bent up, bent down? I hear some of those women say, "She wears that same outfit every time she comes. Look at her. Hope she don't come over here. Why she can't even lift up herself. Hope she don't come over here." I was pastoring in Virginia. I picked up a family, Mullins family, two boys, two girls, and they were helping a farmer up there. Her husband was dead, but anyway, she was bringing those kids, two boys, two girls. They didn't have the best of clothes, and you could smell their clothing, but I kept picking them up, and I had a deacon said to me, "Why don't you quit picking up those kids? They smell." Guess what? I kept picking up kids until they grew, got older. And the oldest one got saved, and the next one got saved, and finally all four of them made a profession of faith. Let me show you something else. Years later, I wasn't there anymore. But they called me, and the oldest girl had been raped and murdered. And I said, thank God I didn't quit taking them in. I'm glad it's for everybody. Amen. God can do that. But it's all, he knows. Hey, he knows what you're thinking right now. He knows exactly what you're thinking now. You know, a preacher friend of mine said over in North Carolina, he said he preached a sermon one Sunday morning, came back that night, preached the same identical message. And when he got through, I mean, he said, illustration, everything. I preached it identically, like I did that morning. He said, any of you have heard me preach that before? And about six or eight raised their hands. So we're going to have a test as you go out today. What do you go to church for? To see what you don't like? See what you don't, all that stuff? Or see people, see what they got on? Or do you really come to worship? I like that old song, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. All is vain if the Holy One. Hey, Jesus is always here. Get that in mind. Hey, he knows your thoughts. And by the way, he knows your secret sins. As a pastor, I've knocked on doors and I'd hear him say, it's a preacher, it's a preacher. And it'd be a few minutes before they got there. And so they were hiding all their love story magazines and everything under the cushion. Not always set in the middle of one, and so I could reach under and say, look here what I found. What I'm saying, he knows everything about you. But he comes to worship. We come to worship the Lord. I like it again. Let me say something else. Many people, Sundays are being abused. It's the Lord's day. You're to be in the house of God every Sunday. I've had, as a pastor, say, well, the Lord understands. Yeah, he understands you're out of the will of God if you're not in the house of God. Upon the first day of the week, we're to meet to worship. But Jesus came. Jesus came and across the land and country. I mean, churches are, just closing. Just stopping. There's a great falling away, but Jesus is here in the house of God. He knows our motives. He knows our desires. He knows all these things about us. But I want you to notice something. He saw her, but he spoke to her. Now, a lot of you have come up and have spoken to me this morning. And I thank you for that. And you're friendly church. But I have been in churches where they were not that friendly. Be a friendly church. And then he spoke a word of value. Woman, she didn't look like a woman. Didn't look like a woman. But a word of value said, woman, don't you know that woman said he wants me? Hallelujah. A word of value. Satan said, hey, you're nobody. But Jesus said, you're somebody. I was raised in a very poor family. And we didn't have a whole lot. And even the poor people called our family poor. But had a dad was a preacher, and his daddy was a preacher, and mother's daddy was a preacher, and I'm a preacher. I got a son that's a preacher. I got a grandson that's a preacher. And they all like chicken. I have a chicken poem. I've eaten chicken young. I've eaten chicken old. I've eaten chicken hot, and I've eaten chicken cold. And when I'm dead and in my grave, no more chicken will I crave. But on my grave marker, please note that 10,000 chicken went down my throat. not only did he speak a word of value, but he gave a word of victory. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. But also, he spoke to the ruler, the preacher of the synagogue. Jesus, he criticized. I've heard people talk about somebody else say, oh, it won't last. Oh, man, let me tell you something. If you get saved, truly born again, it will last. It will. I'm telling you, I meet people now, they said, oh, you mean you're still shouting? I said, I started that way. I'm going to end up that way. Oh, well. We need the Lord. And he said, I'll be there. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say this to you again? He was more interested in rules and regulations than he was for that person being healed. Sometimes believers, church people, I mean, man, see, people need the Lord. I'll give you illustrations how people have done people. But I want you to know one thing for sure. People need the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but may I say to you, how many of you know somebody's lost? Maybe in your family or somebody you know is not saved. Then let me ask you the second question. How many of you know somebody that's just dropped out of church? They've attended this church, but they've just dropped out. They're not going anywhere else. I wonder if you're trying to get them back in church. I wonder if you're trying to get that person that's, see, I believe this. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. Pastor, I believe Jesus could come today. See, when the Supreme Court did, Jesus said there'd be two things. Look for the days of Noah. And in Noah's day, the Bible said in chapter 6, twice the earth was filled with violence. Not too long ago in Crawl Line of Fox News, it said, world filled with violence. So that pointed towards the days of Noah. And then the days of Lot, homosexuality. When the Supreme Court made it legal for a man to wear a man and a woman, woman, that immediately put us in Lot's day. So we got two things Jesus said look for. We got them. Don't mean he's coming today, don't mean he's not coming today. But we got, said there's two things to look for, and our nation is falling apart. Coldness and indifference sweeping the country and in the houses of God. Well, what I'm trying to say, this could. What if, hey, I said, I hope the Lord comes on a Sunday night. Right in the middle of the sermon, the preacher disappears. And the chairman of the deacon said, where did that preacher go? But wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a Holy Ghost revival or service and all of a sudden the trump of God sounds? Would you be ready to go if you did? I'm looking for him any day. Let me give you the last thing. Boy, I'm honored to be here. Notice the cure. Notice the cure. The Bible said he laid his hands on her. Now, let me show you something. He knows where you hurt. He knows exactly where you hurt. If you're hurting, whatever the hurt may be, he knows where to touch you. He knows exactly where to, and the Bible said, the Word of God said here, he saw her and touched her. And immediately, the Bible said she was made straight. Now, let me ask you this. Where do you think he touched her? Where do you think he touched her? Ma'am, what do you think? You don't tell me. Where do you think Jesus touched her? Where do you need a touch from God today? Where? something that you just need something from God. Whatever. But where? Here she is, bent over, and Jesus touched her. To me, he touched her right on her back. And immediately, I've tried to picture her come up. Don't you know she must have been smiling? And the Bible says, I want to show you something. The Bible said here, there's a transformation. And immediately she was made straight. And then the scripture said she glorified God. She said, thank you, Jesus, I appreciate it. Oh, no. You would have shouted probably. I doubt it, but maybe. She got up, and the Bible says she glorified Jesus. I believe when she rose, she said, hey, everybody, look. I'm not crooked anymore. Jesus touched me, and I'm straight again. Thank God. You say, I'm not emotional. Lord, somebody give you $1 million. You say, thanks. Man alive, can't you imagine the old preacher, her rejoicing, going, hey, look, look, look. Jesus has set me free. Today, she had a testimony. She glorified God. She glorified God. I've seen people that God would heal and how they praised the Lord for the healing. But God needed to heal our hearts. This is close to Christmas time. May I say this? You watch when Christmas comes on Sunday, most churches are empty. It's not about Jesus in some sense. But Jesus Christ gave his life. I haven't gotten over it. I haven't gotten over he loved me, a little old country boy, enough to give his life for me. Hey, I meet people, see me and you're still shouting. I said, I started that way. God been good to me. He brought me out of Nelson and he gave me everything. Wrote my name down in the Lamb Book of Life. And any day the Lamb of God is going to come back and take us out of here. Hallelujah. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. While our heads are bowed. People here today, you're here, you have a special need. Whatever, someone that burdened on your heart, or maybe you've got a bad report physically, or maybe about to get laid off financially or off your job or whatever. I don't know. Well, I promise you there are people here who have special needs here today. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe it was a day you were more faithful and dedicated than you are now. You were more surrendered to Christ, witnessed more for Christ than now. But our Lord Jesus, he deserves our best. He deserves our all after what he did at Calvary. I praise the Lord for all he does for us. If you have today, if you're here not saved, if you're here, you're more dedicated and used to be more dedicated than you are now, or more surrendered than you are now. You let something or somebody interfere with you, cause you not to give your very best. I think every born again child of God ought to want to give our Lord the very best we have, because they gave heaven's best for me and for you. Nobody said we have to be big to go to church or serve God or live for God. But it did say, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're going to sing. If you got a special need in your heart, in your life, your home, a heavy burden for somebody, whatever, would you come and ask God right here this morning to help you in that situation? Our loving Heavenly Father, I pray I magnified you today, Lord. I pray I lifted you up today. And I pray and know that you have spoken to hearts of people that one time were really committed and surrendered. And maybe you know those that are here today just needs a real anointing touch of God because of trials or whatever it might be. And I pray they'll mind the Lord today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. I pray I magnify the Lamb of God for you today. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.